Hey, all you beautiful people, and welcome to the Glorious in the Mundane podcast. I'm your host, Christy Knuckles. I wanted to take a minute at the top and say thank you to all of you who have been tuning in this spring to this podcast series. I pray that the Lord has been using it in your mundane to lead you straight to Him. If you've been following us, you know that this series is in celebration of some new old songs, songs from my 30-year journey as a worship leader and songwriter, songs that have been guideposts for me on my walk with the Lord. And I'm so happy to say that we are releasing another EP this Friday, April 12th, called Knees to the Earth. It will feature three songs that are very close to my heart, Knees to the Earth, of course, being the first one, and that's our theme for today's episode. In fact, if you're listening in real time, you'll get to hear the song today before it's even released. But this EP will also include two songs that are very near and dear to my heart, Be Loved and For Your Splendor. Also, spoiler alert, I will go ahead and tell you that these first two EPs are both a part of a bigger project or album that will release in May. So there's even more coming. As you know, the world of releasing music is just a whole new thing. And y'all, I'm still trying to get used to it. Sadly, gone are the days that an entire album can be dropped or released in a day. And then, you know, we get in our cars and we drive down to the local bookstore or music outlet and we buy the CDs of our favorite artists. Now there is an algorithm. I won't get on a soapbox about that. Instead, my hope is that me sharing in depth about these songs will keep truth moving forward in all of our lives. And it's also why I continue to ask that if this music has meant something to you in your life, in your mundane, I hope you'll share it, whether it's on your stories on Instagram or when you're having coffee with a friend, whatever it is. We trust that God is bigger and He will get these songs everywhere they need to go. Over the past week or so, I've heard from several of you, even friends here locally, how good it has been to be reminded about blooming where we are planted. Honestly, I needed to hear it again. In fact, there have been so many moments that I've been writing and preparing these episodes that I've teared up myself. I realized that I needed to hear this encouragement from the Lord as well. In fact, the release of these new old songs have been the Ebenezer that I prayed that they would be. Even just in my own walk with the Lord, as I've remembered His faithfulness and how He has led me through the years, it has bolstered my faith again. It's also made my heart tender because I've remembered His mercy and grace in the early parts of my adult life and how He took such care in teaching me to walk in His way so early on. And yes, I periodically walked in my own way as I was tempted to look to the left or to the right, but He has been so faithful through the years to discipline me in such kindness, leading me back to His heart. That was both Hebrews 12:6 and Romans 2:4 together right there in a sentence. God disciplines those He loves, those who He accepts as a son and a daughter. And His fatherly kindness is what ends up leading us to repentance. Well, in the last few episodes before the break, I shared a little bit about the very beginnings of my story when it comes to worship leading and songwriting, but also those early years of learning to experience and even recognize the pressing and the pruning of the Lord in different seasons. It's amazing to me that as I've grown in my walk with the Lord, even over the last decade, it has caused me to look back on my teenage years as well as my 20s and 30s and now 40s and recognize the way that God has been coming after my heart my whole life. It looks different for all of us as the circumstances will always vary, but the more we walk with Him, the more we begin to recognize His voice, His heart, His character, His hand, and we can trace His presence all the way back through our story. It also helps equip us to begin to help others recognize His voice and His heart and His presence as we learn it for ourselves. Wherever you are in this bloom where you're planted season, God is so faithful to give us what I like to call moments of relief, especially when things don't look exactly like we thought they would. These are moments when it seems that He takes the time and care to reach down into our world in the middle of our mundane so that we become assured once more of his withness with us, his voice speaking to us, making us aware once more that he has not forgotten us or left us behind. It's more that we're usually maybe one step ahead of him. At least sometimes I know I do that. And what I mean by that is we tend to get out of step with him. It's not that we've figured out anything before he has. It's more that he just isn't frantic. He's not anxious. He's not worried. He's not in a hurry. In fact, he's not even bound by time or space. Yet he chooses to be in union with us. In Christ, he invites us to abide in him. So beautiful. And it's in abiding in him that we're assured once more that we are right where we are supposed to be. I shared with you a few weeks back about us having that sense deep down that we were going to someday be on Michael W. Smith's record label, but the Lord clearly said, that's a yes, but a not yet. And I even shared about how I knew that that was the right thing and it resonated deep within me. But as we all know, carrying that yes, but not yet can become wearisome at times. At that time in our lives, the songs kept stirring in our little one-bedroom apartment, even along with a sense of urgency about these songs coming to light and even being heard by others. Yet for the time being, the Lord had us finishing things we had started and following through with commitments we had made, which as we were learning was just as worshipful and important as the songs that were rising up in our hearts. But I believe that he was also teaching us that who we are, definitely at that point, even who we were becoming, was so much more important to him than anything that we were going to do with our lives. Even so, there are just weary moments, aren't there, in the midst of obedience when you just need to be encouraged. One morning in that season, I remember I was on my way to work and the tears began to fall as I pulled out of our apartment complex in my little Ford Mercury convertible that was about as small as a go-kart. I was quiet until around the time that I hit the highway, and then I just began to cry out to God in prayer. I don't remember everything I prayed and cried, but I do remember asking him this, what are these songs for? They felt so poignant and timely and powerful, but I cried out, what or who are they for if I'm just going to drive down the road to this little preschool where I work and corral four-year-olds all day and mop up Kool-Aid and who knows what else? And as I kept crying out, I specifically remember asking him, why do you allow me to hear entire symphonies in my head, intricate parts of songs and the instruments that should play them if there's no one to share them with? I felt like Bono belting out the chorus of U2's song called 40. How long to sing this song? I know it just sounds like I was having a pity party, and there's probably some truth to that, but looking back, I recognize it as lament, the kind of lament that goes hand in hand with being made in the secret place. Lament means to audibly grieve. And how sweet that we have 150 chapters right in the middle of the Bible that show us that it's okay to audibly grieve with God. It's even okay to ask him why, how, who, what, when. Well, he knew and has known the answers to all of those questions for the entirety of my life. But he also knew that I had a lot to learn in the secret place with him. For starters, I needed to learn how to not be late to work. I was late to teach preschool that day, like I was late a lot of days. And because he's a good father, he knew that learning to be on time was a noble cause and a great place to start in answering who, what, when, where, how, and why. He was like, be on time to your job. That's who and what I've called you to today. He knew even then that the songs would get where they needed to go, but what he was after was my heart. Goodness, I'll tell you this, and this might just make me cry, but if I had only known at that point in my life that four-year-olds, preschoolers, would actually one day become a legitimate part of my audience and my fan base, for real, those of you who know me well, you know that I've come to hold my lullaby audience as extremely sacred. If only I could share some of the videos, y'all, that I get from moms and aunts of their toddler kids or nieces and nephews, either in the car requesting my lullaby album or even at home as they tell Alexa and their little sleepy voices to play Christy Knuckles. It about levels me, truly. It's something that I hold very dear. And I love to think that me getting to serve those 3 and 4 year olds in that very hidden season of my life helped me grow up in many ways. But also, I wonder if it deposited something deep in my heart that God had prepared for me in terms of ministry way down the road. I wonder if you resonate with that. Maybe the trajectory you are now on was birthed out of a season that didn't make much sense at the time. Maybe it was a job or ministry that wasn't exactly Pinterest or Instagram worthy. Maybe it just felt random. Maybe you're in it now, and maybe it just feels like a fill-in or even less than. But now you're able to look back, or if you're still in it, you can hold on to the fact that one day you'll see it for the sweet and tender and necessary training ground that it was or is. The kind of pressing and pruning that shapes you and changes you forever. I probably prayed that prayer of lament in my car on a Monday morning. And that very week, our little church plant was having a night of worship that Nathan and I were scheduled to help lead with our friend Charlie Hall. Everyone was excited because a friend of some of our pastors, who was an Anglican vicar from the UK, he was scheduled to be there that night to share and have a time of prayer with our church. We had a beautiful time of worship that night, I remember, and afterwards, Nathan and I went out and sat in the audience along with the rest of our church as the vicar began sharing about what the Lord had been doing over in the UK where he was from, and he had some incredible stories of renewal and revival, even healing, and the Holy Spirit was doing some really powerful things in their midst. And then at the end of that time, he began to pray for our little church, and even unexpectedly, he began to call people by name and speak words of encouragement and life over them, real specific things that God was giving him to speak over many of us in that moment. I remember the faces of our people just being so overjoyed, as it was as if he had been reading our mail somehow. Nathan and I sat in disbelief, and our faith was rising as he continued to encourage our people with very tender words from scripture and prayers of hope for very deep needs that we knew were in people's lives around us. And kind of getting lost in it all, I was jarred awake when he suddenly said, "Nathan and Christy Knuckles, where are you?" Well, my face immediately turned red. And I take that back. Nathan and I were both bright red in the face. Nathan sort of raised his hand. I think we were on the 4th or 5th row, and he saw us and he said, "Would y'all stand, please?" All I remember is that he began to pray and he asked the congregation to stretch out their hands toward us as a sign of agreement as he prayed. And this man, who we had never seen before in our lives, began to pray for us. His prayer was centered around encouraging us that indeed the Lord had been stirring songs in our hearts in that season. And I could barely breathe as he began to say, "Christy and Nathan, the Lord has allowed you to hear entire symphonies in your head, intricate parts of songs that are to be songs of deliverance for generations to come." And he began to refer to the hidden season we were currently in. But he encouraged us that we could rest and hold on to God's promises because he said, and I quote, "The Lord is getting ready to literally slot you into the place that he has carved out for you to be. It's going to be a place and a season where everything's going to make sense and you're going to begin to thrive." This was a moment of relief. Nate and I both stood there stunned with encouragement. I was actually doubled over bawling as the Lord assured us once more of his hand on us, his heart with us, his voice speaking. He had not left us behind. We were brought back to a place of rest, of abiding and sinking up once more to his heart and his provision for us, not our own. That word slot, it's a bit peculiar, isn't it? It's very specific, and it's not one we use often, but I haven't forgotten that it was his word choice that night. It simply means to place or to assign or to fit easily. But I also can't help but think about the fact that a slot is narrow, isn't it? It can also mean a narrow opening or a groove. Our future and our days ahead and even our hopes and longings are all going to fit together and unfold, but it can all feel so overwhelmingly big sometimes, right? Even scary. But God, not only does he know the answers to our who, what, when, where, how, and why, he has these grooves for us that he's carved out himself, places he's already assigned for us, where he knows we'll easily fit. I can't help but think of Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is one of my favorite verses, but in order to really truly grasp it, I want to read a few of the verses before it. This is Ephesians 2:1-10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we read it all together like that, we realize that verse 10 is really the culmination of verses 1 through 9, which are reminding us of the incredible mercy and kindness of God for those who believe. We too were aimless. We were following the course of this world, but God, who is rich in mercy, and because of the great love with which he loved us, he made us alive together with Christ, raising us with him, seating us with him in heavenly places. Y'all, I think sometimes we've heard this too much, and it just sometimes can go in one ear and out the other. But I'm just like, wow, the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. We are by grace literally now in the flow of what my friend Megan and I like to call his lavishment. Lavish is a real word, but we added the mint at the end. And we often love to leave each other voice texts to share, you know, little places where we have felt and sensed and experienced the lavishment of God in an area of our lives, often in an area that has maybe been parched or dry or sad or hard. And then he shows up in his grace and in his kindness. Yes, there is more to come in the ages to come, but for those of us who are in Christ, we do experience the already along with the not yet. We do experience those on earth as it is in heaven moments, don't we? The lavishment of God. That night at church, as that vicar prayed over Nate and I, that felt like God's lavishment to reach down in the middle of a hard, hidden season and say, I'm here. I see you. And you don't have to make a way for you. I've already made a way for you. In verse 10, we see this beautiful word, workmanship. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That word workmanship is the Greek word poema. It's where we get the word poem. We are his living poem, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is all connected to us becoming a new creature in Christ. He is the creator God, and he made us. And in Christ, in union with Christ, there are good works prepared or created in advance by our creator God that we get to walk in them. What a beautiful reminder that our lives are not just willy-nilly. We belong to God. We are not our own. And when we choose Jesus, I love this, we choose creation and everything that comes with it, including things prepared in advance that we might flourish in them. This brings a whole new meaning to waiting on the Lord, doesn't it? And of course, listening to his voice and obeying his voice. What's beautiful is that when God does choose to move us from that hidden place, He makes it so clear that it's Him. I know you've been there before in those undeniable moments when you're just minding your own business, doing what He's asked you to do, and lo and behold, He just makes a way out of nowhere and opens up something that you could have never opened up for yourself. And we're able to sit back in awe and say, wow, God, look what you did. Look how you came through. In our case, the Lord did this very thing. I know you might be thinking, oh, that's right. He made a way for you to move to Nashville finally so that you could sign that record deal and the rest is history. That would make sense. Yes. Actually, the door He clearly opened was for us to move to Houston, Texas. It wasn't the door we thought He would open, no, but we were assured of His voice and His withness with us. And it was indeed the right move. And looking back, it might not have been what we immediately wanted, but it was what we needed. Maybe you're even on the move through a door He's opened that maybe wasn't the door you anticipated Him swinging wide open for you. But rest assured that there's something in it for you that He knows that you need. Also, it must really bless Him as He sees that we are willing to follow Him anywhere or stay anywhere He's asking us to stay. And of course, when we become more content with Him being the answer to our who, where, when, what, how, and why, I love to think that He moves on our behalf. Well, today's episode is called Knees to the Earth, and I know it feels like I say this about every song, but gosh, this one is really sacred to us. Truly, this is one of those songs that I felt like we were a part of a divine encounter as God wove this one together. There's no denying that He orchestrated it from beginning to end. It also reminds me of what an incredible partnership with the Holy Spirit that music truly is. At the beginning of this spring series, I shared about the passion event called One Day 2000. That was that muddy field in Memphis where I told you I first led the song Breathe. Well, there was another One Day event. It was in 2003 in Sherman, Texas. I remember it rained like cats and dogs at this event as well. And same thing, we were all staying in this RV village and our main gatherings were all underneath these big white tents like you would rent for a wedding. Noah was almost 3 years old, I think, at the time. And our middle child, Eliana, was just about 5 months old. So we just had two then. My mom and dad came with us to this event to basically just hold our babies and hang out with us in these big white tents. You might remember me telling you that this is where we met our friend Melinda, who now runs Blue Skies, the family camp that comes in the form of beach retreats, specifically for families who have a child in treatment for cancer. And you know that we've served at Blue Skies for well over probably 10 summers at this point. But when my mom wasn't holding Ellie at One Day 03, Melinda definitely was. Nathan and I were a part of One Day 03 as both individual leaders and musicians, but we were also collectively a part of what naturally became the Passion Band. It was always such a highly anticipated time as we all loved getting to lead together in those days and just be together. Well, I remember that Nate and I had been told the afternoon before the event that we had been given a time slot to lead from the main stage on our own, in addition to leading with the Passion Band throughout the day. I just realized that I actually said the word slot, as in time slot. I bet that's the most I've said that word in years, but I'm actually kind of having a little bit of a real-time moment with it. Maybe more on that in a second, but I remember Nathan asking me what songs I was thinking that we would lead for the main event. And it was maybe the night before. Well, he didn't know it, but I had what felt like 100 butterflies in my stomach, sort of a gut feeling with a little bit of nausea that we were supposed to sing a new song that next day at the event. And I knew that if I said it out loud to Nathan, it would make it even more real. And maybe something would even be set into motion if I had the courage to say it out loud. Thankfully, I did. He looked at me so puzzled and was like, what new song are you thinking? He just thought I meant maybe a song of ours that was fairly new that we maybe had never led live before. I said, no, I mean like a new song, like one we haven't written yet. I remember we were sitting in one of those big white tents I talked about, and a friend's guitar was sitting there, and Nate picked it up and he looked at me and he said, well, We better get working on it then. So that evening, I sang him a part of a chorus that I had been singing for a few weeks leading up to that. The chorus sang this: be blessed, be loved, be lifted high, be treasured here, be glorified. I owe my life to you, my Lord. Here I am. I had the melody and the lyrics for that, so we didn't have nothing. And Nathan loved it, and he said, well, let's write some verses then. So that evening and all into the night and all throughout the next morning until the main event, we worked on those verses. Wonderful Savior, my heart belongs to thee. I will remember always the blood you shed for me. Wonderful Savior, my heart will know your worth. So I will embrace you always as I walk this earth. Any chance we'd get, Nate and I would duck into a corner and go over the song again as our time was approaching to go on and lead. But there was a line in the second verse that wasn't quite sitting right with me, but I couldn't nail down how to change it. And honestly, I thought to myself, well, you know, the worst that happens is we can just sing it the way it is and maybe change it later if we decide to ever record this song again. Plus, the production team was asking me for the lyrics so that they could have those ready to go up on the screens. So I just turned in what I had. Well, as Nathan and I were pacing and praying, getting ready to go up and lead, we actually could not see the field of students from where we were. The stage was really high up off the ground, and we were, of course, backstage. We could only see Louis where he was standing and teaching. We couldn't hear him, though, because the wind does weird things with sound when you're singing or speaking outside. It just carries the voice like out and away. So we were actually not locked in at all to what was going on the field. Maybe because, you know, we were backstage pacing and praying and trying to remember the lyrics of this brand new song that had just been birthed. We were locked in right where we probably needed to be. And as I was going over the song in my heart and mind one more time, I sang that second verse. And as I did, that line that I told you wasn't sitting right with me, it changed. I sang out something different that time, and I knew it was the Lord. I ran and I got David Bell, our friend and colleague who was in charge of all the production, and I said, David, I know this is down to the wire, but I need you to change a lyric for me. And I wrote it down as I told him, that second line right there, it needs to say, knees to the earth, I bow down to everything you are. And from that moment, it really felt like only a few moments passed before Nate and I were walking up onto that stage from the back left corner. And as we walked out to where we could see the students, my breath was taken away as I looked out onto the field and I saw tens of thousands of college students on their knees in the mud. I actually remember that I just began to tremble. I had a piece of paper, all the lyrics scribbled down. And here it was, a lyric coming to life right in front of me. Knees to the earth, I bow down to everything you are. Well, we actually had to end up re-recording my vocal later for that live album because I wept through the entire song as I led it. The Lord had given a new song, and it wasn't just for me. It was for all of us. Even now, it still makes me say, wow, God, look what you did. Look how you came through. If I ever need to believe once more that all of this is real, this unseen kingdom that I'm willing to lay down my life for, I go back to moments like this one. It's such a vivid reminder to me of how we are truly invited to partner with the Holy Spirit. He was already working and moving in that moment, and it would have been a powerful and pivotal moment even without the song. But the song, as I said at the very beginning of this series, it was this gateway to reconciling our hearts with God's heart that day in a way that shaped us and changed us. I have friends who were in that field who would testify to that. And I can testify to it, that the Lord gave me the intuition that there was to be a new song in that moment, a moment that He had clearly crafted and created before the beginning of time. He knew each and every student who would be there, consecrating their hearts and lives to Him in yet another muddy field made holy. One of the many things that Louis, the founder of Passion Conferences, did teach us in our 20s and 30s was always be ready. And by that, he meant always be ready to share about what God is doing in and through you. As a leader, he was preparing us to always be prepared, meaning if he called on us at any moment, we should be prepared to lead out. Yes, for some people in the circle, that invoked sheer panic anytime we circled up, and that is the risk a leader takes in any community, that people can become robotic in approaching the circle for fear of getting called on. And trust me, that happened. But what I think was at the heart of it was always be aware of what God is doing in and through you so that you might always be tuned in and available to partner with the Holy Spirit at any given moment, even if it's just in the checkout line at the grocery store. You never know how he might want to just slot you right into the groove of what he's doing at any moment. Good works that he created long ago with you in mind, in union with Christ as his living poem, his walking, talking creation. You belong to him. I'll talk to you soon.
Wonderful Savior, my heart belongs to thee. I will remember always the blood you shed for me. And a wonderful Savior, yeah. My heart will know your word, so I will embrace you always as I walk this earth. Be blessed.
I freely give, and I will ever love and trust you in your presence daily. I surrender.